Thank you very much to the organizers. One of my distinct pleasures for the last couple of years has been to serve as the liaison to the International Affairs Committee, the liaison from the governing board. As Scott indicated, it's an active committee encompassing members from actually many parts of the world. My talk will cover these broad four themes or organizational areas. With some necessity, I will plow some familiar ground and cover some of the same territory that Scott Hutchins covered, but I'll also mention some new topics. Basically, at the onset, I'm going to talk about the global reach and the focus of our journals, our international members and authors, and what their participation is already in the Entomological Society of America through their publishing in our journals. Secondly, I'm going to touch a little bit about the international branch and the current branch structure, and a little bit of overlap with Scott on some of the procedures for creating an international branch, what we're going to have to do as an International Affairs Committee, and what kind of leadership will be necessary in order to get this done, and then with some concluding remarks. Now, one of the strategic elements of your governing board now is to look at how we can increase our global reach of our major journals of the Entomological Society of America, the four journals, the Journal of Economic Entomology, Environmental Entomology, the Annals, and the Journal of Medical Entomology. I've done a survey. It only encompasses 2003, 2005, 2007, and three issues in each of those 3 years, and just looking at the senior authors from outside of the United States. And this is really getting at that strategic element of the governing board and looking at our global reach of our journals. So let's look at the percent of the total papers published by international authors. This was an eye-opener for me. I customarily read on a frequent basis the Journal of Economic and Environmental Entomology, but based on that, admittedly, a small survey, but yet, in the Journal of Economic Entomology between 2003 and 2007, 31% of the papers were published by senior authors from countries outside of the United States. Going right on down the list, environmental entomology, 38%, 27 countries represented. The annals, 38.5, almost 39%, 21 countries represented. And then look at this, almost 50% of the senior authored papers in the Journal of Medical Entomology, and that comes from 34 countries. That to me indicates significant global reach. Can we do better? Yes. I think one of the charges for the International Affairs Committee will be to look at the configuration, the topics covered by these international authors in our journals, look for areas where maybe we can get some new international authors covering certain topics. A new proposal actually will be in force for our journals where we will be publishing review articles, short review articles in our four major journals and going towards a no page charge model. We will be starting heading towards that area starting next year. These senior authors from the information just in the preceding frame come from a total of 54 countries. I was amazed even at this. I mean, Iran is represented, the country of Benin, you know, for some of us that are geographically challenged Americans, it was going back to the fourth grade for me and getting up to speed on where some of these countries are. We have Burkina Faso represented, so on and so forth, but I think if you just feast your eyes on this particular frame, it's an impressive summary of the global reach of our journals and where many of our senior authors reside. But now let's continue down this path of global reach and international members in the Entomological Society of America. And Scott mentioned that this year, I think he's indicated 78 countries are represented by our members. Now, if we look at the total international members from the years 2002 to 2007, encompassing that period of time, there were 68 to 79 countries represented. Now, the majority reside in 11 countries. My benchmark for that was 20 members, an average of 20 members per year between the years of 2002-2007. Our good friends and neighbors to the north of us, Canada, of course, they're leading the way there. A little bit later on, we're going to have Charles Vinson, former president of the Entomological Society of Canada, up here at the podium talking, and a longstanding member of the ESA, I might add. And then we look and we see that Japan, we have Mexico, our good friends and neighbors to the south of us, Korea, South Korea, Brazil, Australia is represented very strongly, Spain, Taiwan, Germany, France, and Israel. Now there's a second tier of countries that in some years will have 20 or more members, and that will be represented by United Kingdom, Italy, and India. What is not represented there in terms of good, what I would view as good, strong international members from another country would be from the People's Republic of China. Now, if we look at forming an international branch, and now we're going to get in some of those nuts and bolts of procedures, and I'm going to cover this ground fairly quickly because Scott gave an excellent overview of what it's going to take in terms of procedures and in accordance with our bylaws in order to get moving on the actual formation of international branch. We do have to consider how that may be in terms of our existing structure of our branches in the Entomological Society of America. This frame will show the current geographical boundaries of the branches. So if we go into establishing an international branch within the new ESA bylaws, we'll need written concurrence from any existing branch affected by a proposal for the international branch. That proposal, that prospectus to be assembled by the International Affairs Committee and the leadership within that committee will have the signatures of at least 50 members in the area to be covered by the international branch. Now, 50 signatures, that shouldn't be too difficult. What are the territorial limits? That needs to be put in that prospectus as well. And how or why would an international branch be useful to entomology and the ESA in general, and then with governing board approval? And I think that there's probably a pretty darn good chance that you'll get governing board approval. That's not always a certainty. I've been on the branch 3 years, and you'll be amazed at how the votes go sometimes. You can never really predict how some of these votes will go. But I think with all the ducks in the water and somebody does the heavy lifting, that the chances would be improved greatly. Continuing along with this sort of procedural information that I'm presenting, amending the ESA bylaws, what's that going to take? Well, you got to give notice. The proposed amendment has to go to the members. What will be the impact? Governing board recommendations. And there may need some input from the Standing Committee on Ethics and Rules. Voting, it would be a ballot voting, two-thirds majority of the members voting required for approval. Additional considerations, and there's going to be a lot of considerations and information, I think, and details that should go in this prospectus. These are just some of those that I've come up with. Scott mentioned some of them as well. But what would the officer and the committee makeup of the branch be? President, president-elect, governing board representative, executive committee members? Will you need in-house committees for awards, meeting committee, representatives on ESA standing committees? There would have to be a structure and a mechanism amongst an international branch, as there is in our current branch structure, to find volunteers, active participants to participate in the governance of the international branch, and then tie it in with ESA Central. A website. And then we've made it, and we are making it, I'm facilitating the use of the ESA website for branch activities. Some of you may need a website coordinator. and then an annual meeting. I mean, Scott gave some excellent ideas on how an international branch, if it came to fruition, could in fact have a meeting on an annual basis, every 4 years with ours, whatever. More considerations, dollars and cents. I'm a fiscal conservative, so I always like to know where the how the money's going to be spent, what's going to be required from ESA Central. Will they pay? Will there be funding? I would assume so, but I think that in flushing out a perspective, these are some of the requests that ought to come out of perspective from the International Affairs Committee. Will they send every year a representative to the governing board meetings? Video conferencing in lieu of an annual branch meeting. The technology is getting better. I think we're going to try that a little bit later on in this symposium. But there's some funding will be required for that. And then, of course, ESA Central remits program enhancement funds to the international branch, which is tied to attendance and so on and so forth at annual meetings. How will that factor in? And lastly, I'll end with some concluding remarks. Where will international members come from? Existing international members, and Scott indicated that we have well over 400 or 8% of our membership currently reside outside the United States. Will we draw members from existing branches? And of course, then there's always the recruitment aspect. And then I think a very important aspect, because we don't want to really we got to consider the wishes and desires of our colleagues in other entomological societies. We should seek some input from other entomological societies. I'd mentioned one here, the Canadian Ant Society. And then leadership provided by the International Affairs Committee, I think that goes without saying. And then if an international branch comes to fruition, it would replace the International Affairs Committee. Towards an international branch, who's going to do the heavy lifting? This is one of many, many leadership definitions that I like. The task of a leader is to get his people, his or her people, from where they are to where they have not been. When I think of this leadership statement, I think of Scott Hutchins and others that have taken our society to yet another level. The International Affairs Committee, when I put forth this leadership definition, I'm thinking that somebody's going to have to come up and do the heavy lifting. Many thanks to Scott Hutchins, our current ESA president, the International Affairs Committee leadership, outstanding leadership, Rob Hollingsworth, Megha Parjuli, and Gary Bernan, and Chris Stelzik, our Director of Membership and Marketing, helped me get together some of the statistics on membership and so on and so forth, and two of my technicians who plowed through some of the issues of our journals and came up with some of the statistics on senior authors from other countries and some of those statistics that I presented. Thank you very much.
We have time for a question if anyone has one.
Jim.
Would there be a mandate for an official language for the branch?
Ooh.
Could you repeat the question into the microphone?
Would there be a mandate for an official language? Well, I think Charles Vincent would mandate French. Jim, I'm not trying to be flippant. That is, we have the leadership of the International Affairs Committee here. You guys taking notes? A timeline. Well, there's. I think the timeline could be established by the International Affairs Committee. The governing board has not set a timeline for this. Am I? We have not. Gail's saying yes. I just stated the correct information. Yeah. Scott.
The only thing I would say is that typically membership flow. They typically go out in the July timeframe.
Okay. Those are aspects that have to be considered in a prospectus that's put together. That's right.